Parshas Re'eh, everybody. We have Parak Tazayin, Tazvav, Pasuk Zayin. We're going to talk about poor people. We're going to talk about giving to the poor people. This is the very first Pasuk of a Parsha that deals with giving tzedakah. It says, Ki yebecha evyon me'achad achecha ve'achad shorecha. If you have a poor, destitute person, one of your brothers, in one of your gates, meaning in your area, Asher Hashem Elokecha nos lach that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave you, lo sa'ametzis levavcha v'lo sikbo tzedrat esiyadcha me'achicha evyon. This is a double lashon, but each one means something. It says, you should not hold back your heart. Don't be so strong against yourself, and don't hold your hand back from your brother who is destitute. So we have to ask, what's going on in this pasuk? In other words, what's the double lashon over here of holding back your heart and holding back your hand? What do both of those things mean? Plus, just the obvious stuff. What does it mean to give tzedakah? What does it mean that we're reaching out and giving over to somebody else? What's the mitzvah and what's the lav over here of lo se'ametz es levavcha? What does that mean? If a mashulach comes into shul, and I don't feel like giving him a dollar, am I over on this lav of lo se'ametzis levavecha? Is that what I'm over on? I didn't give tzedakah. Fine, that's a mitzaseh, that's another issue altogether. But am I also over on a lav? Do I get malchus for not giving a dollar to a mashulach when a mashulach walks by? Let's say I hide myself. What does this mean, lo se'ametzis levavecha? So the Targum Yonasan says the following. If you don't keep the Torah properly, then there will be people among you who are poor. He's not blaming the poor people. He's blaming you. Why haven't you kept the Torah properly? If you would have done everything proper, he wouldn't be poor. What's the connection? Well, the connection is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants you to give tzedakah, but he wants you to do it in the best possible way. If you don't do it on your own, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to be mazmin by you to be at a shul where 30 mishulachim come by. And you know those shoals. There's certain shoals where you have one or two mishulachim, and it's a little bit easier. Another shoal has 30 or 40 mishulachim coming by. You could have hundreds of dollars on you, and you're still not going to have enough to give to everybody. That's not the best situation. It's your fault for not putting yourself in a better situation and really not davening for everyone around you to have something. Targum Yonasan is blaming it on that, and that's the key. Key means when, not if. When there are poor people among you, when you're not doing well, if you don't keep Torah properly, this is the result. The result is that there will be poor people among you, and that's the idea. Really, this is all contradiction. In Pasuk Dalet earlier, it says, Ephes, ki lo yebecha evyom. You should know there won't be any poor people among you. There are no poor. Forget about the poor. That'll never happen. And over there in Pasuk Yud Aleph, a little bit after this Pasuk Zion, it says, Ki lo yechdal evyon bekarav haaretz. There will never be lacking poor people in the midst of Eretz Yisrael. Well, what's pshat? You just said there will never be poor people, and now you're saying we'll never be lacking. And clearly we're looking at the world. The world has poor people. It can't be that we're trying to say there will never be poor people ever again. So what's going on here? And he answered, this is a Sifri. The Sifri answers, simple. It's that if you learn Torah, do mitzvahs properly, if things are going the right way, Pasuk Dalet applies, nobody will be poor. Everybody will end up gaining. The world will be a metukan dika world. From you. It's not saying that guy. You. If you would keep Torah perfectly in the way that we know we should, even if we don't, but the way we should, then there won't be any poor people around. They won't affect you or your city or anything. Everybody will have enough money. But if not, and we start acting like the nations around us, then the result is lo yechdal evyon bekarav haaretz. There will never be lacking poor people in the land. And that's really, that Sifri is what Targum Yonasan is saying. It's really up to you. You have to do things properly, and then you get that. The Kli Yakar says, this is so hard. The Pasuk doesn't seem to say this. The Pasuk does not seem to say, it depends if you're doing well or you're not doing well. That's sort of like added on. Number two, that's not really so much, so fair. Because I'm messing up, that guy becomes poor. Because I'm doing something that's wrong, so automatically there has to be someone that becomes poor in my land? That's a little bit strange. Plus, all the psukim don't work out so well this way. You can see the Kli Yakar yourself. The questions he asked are obvious, but they're right there in the statement itself. So what's going on here? He understands these psukim in the following way, and it's I think this is the most push-up shot in the psukim. There are people doing the right thing and people not doing the right thing. He says the following. They're all living in the same time period. If you do the right thing, and that's Pasuk Hey, Pasuk Dala, Pasuk Hey, then there won't be any poor people around at all, around you. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will bless you and make you happy with everything you have. There may be a poor person here or there. There might be someone who is down out of his luck or did a bad business deal or whatever. He just doesn't have that type of, you know, he just doesn't have it. Not everybody has the ability to become a very wealthy person. So there will be people like that, and those people will get enough from the people. Everybody will be around because everybody else is doing so well. Then that guy will never really be poor because anything he needs, everybody will take care of without you even knowing about it. They'll all be taking care of it, and you won't have to give up that much more money for that person, that which he needs, etc. But that's it. That's all there is when a person's doing really well. There are some people who are going to decide, I'd rather be in Chutz La'aretz. And Chutz La'aretz, this is not a guarantee. In Chutz La'aretz back in the day, and I know it's different now, but Chutz La'aretz back in the day, you are pretty much guaranteed to be poor. In Eretz Yisrael is a different story. People, obviously, depended on the time period. But in Chutz La'aretz, if you were living there, it was pretty much a guarantee that the nations were going to try to knock you down. When that happens, there's guarantees that there will be poor people around you. And it's not just a few. There will be tons of poor people around you. So says the Kli Yakar, it depends. You're doing the right thing. You're going to Eretz Yisrael. You want to be in Eretz Yisrael. You're doing everything correctly. Then one or two or three poor people around you, they'll all be taken care of. You won't even notice that they're poor. They'll be taken care of. But if you don't, if you stay in Chutz La'aretz, if you stay around and you're not doing the right thing, you're not even planning, nothing's there, then I'm guaranteeing you there will be tons of poor people. Yes, Mayor.
Don't we learn based upon a Gemara Chagiga that we spoke about, that our ultimate, like really, we really should be within poverty, just we can't handle it anymore? So why is the right thing?
So what you're quoting is that Gemara in Chagiga that says that the greatest bracha that a Jew could have is to be poor. That's it's a crazy line in Chagiga. It's because we don't always do well with our riches, and the challenges of being wealthy are sometimes too big for us to bear. It's difficult to be able to decide who is going to be the person that I give my money to, who's the person that I'm going to, you know, to plan on or do whatever I need to do. Those are challenges. I can't speak of that exact sira and how to apply it over here, but simply put, we know that the better thing, if a Jew had a choice, if I would ask anybody here, would you rather have money or not have money? Every single person here would choose to have money. Is there a bracha to being poor? There is a bracha behind being poor. Sometimes it's better to be poor than it is to be rich. But no one asks to be poor. That challenge is too much for most people to bear. There are challenges by rich people as well, but this is a little bit different. That's how I'd answer that question. But it's a great question. It is a really, really good question. Anyway, that's the Kli Yakar over here. Now, Rashi says there is an order as to who you give and what order you give them to. Now, I want you to think about this for a second. Who would be the first person that you give your money to if you had to give somebody? So, aniye irecha, the poor people of your city, says Rashi, they're the ones that get first. After that comes aniyim of another city. If another city, if somebody else comes by, that's going to be there. The poorest people of them obviously come first before the people that are less poor. I guess that, I don't know how you're going to be able to figure that out when looking at a poor person. Obviously, it doesn't just go by the clothes. But try to give to the poor person first. But then your paternal brother comes before your maternal brother. If you have two half-brothers, one is from your father, one is from your mother, your father's son comes before your mother's son. That would be the idea, the ideas of each one. So there's orders. There's an order as to who you give tzedakah to first. The Rambam speaks out about this order and goes through a whole long thing of who you give to first and what you're supposed to do, etc. Now the Sifri brings up that the poor of Eretz Yisrael come before the poor people of your city. They learn it out from the pasuk that it says, Be'artzecha. It's in your land. Your land, your real land is Eretz Yisrael. So poor people of Eretz Yisrael come before the people of the city itself. It's brought by the Tur and the Smag in Asin, in his Mitzvah Asin, Kuf Samach Beis. That's actually brought down. The Maral Diskin says it's a specific idea you give during Shemitah, when the people of Eretz Yisrael do not have enough money and they're living off the bounty of the land and there is no land for them to deal with. That's when we say you got to give to the poor of Eretz Yisrael first. They come first. But the Maral Diskin says it might not be that you have to give them at all times, but especially during Shemitah itself. But there's a Shach. The Shach in Yoredeah, Resh Nun Aleph, Siv Vav says, the poor people of your city still come first before the people of Eretz Yisrael. Horius, Yud Gimel, when it goes through the different levels of tzedakah, does not mention any Eretz Yisrael. It's a Sifri, it's a Medrash. But it's not brought down by everybody. It is not brought down by the Shulchan Aruch as well. The Tur brings it, the Smag brings it, but it isn't brought down. The Shach says that's not how we pass them. So at the end of the day, you have Aniye Eretz Yisrael coming to your town. and you have an Aniyim of Chicago that are sitting here in Chicago, and you have a choice between the two, according to how we seem to Paskin, based on the Shach, Aniyim of Chicago come first before the Aniyim of Eretz Yisrael. Now, there is a Rav Sternbach. I did not see it inside, and I apologize about this. I tried finding it, and I couldn't find it. In Moadim Uzmanim, it says, not Moadim Uzmanim, I'm sorry, in the Shalos HaTshuvos, and the Shalos HaTshuvos in Rav Sternbach, he does say that in Eretz Yisrael, Yerushalayim, they're the ones that come first before the people of Eretz Yisrael. That is brought down, and there is such a thing, that Yerushalayim comes first, and they could even come first before the Aniyim of Chicago. Yerushalayim might come first, but I haven't seen it, and I don't know exactly the reason why. I can't quote it exactly. So if you have somebody, let's just say, you have, you got to be honest about yourself with this. Depending on how much money you have, how much you have for Meister, and how much money you have in your pocket, you have $1 in your pocket. There's three Mishulachim that are in Shul. You know one of them is from Chicago, one of them is from Eretz Yisrael, from Haifa, let's say, or Tel Aviv, and the other one is from Yerushalayim. It seems that most Achronim say you go with the Ani of your city, then you would go with the Ani of Eretz Yisrael, and Ani Yerushalayim wouldn't matter. But according to Rav Sternbach, the Ani from Yerushalayim comes first, then the Ani of your city, then an Ani from Eretz Yisrael. That would be the order when you see these Mishulachim. But again, you got to be honest with yourself. Do you really not have the money in your pocket? Or you're just worried because you really want to go to Dunkin' Donuts and you want to spend that $3 on yourself? You just got to be honest. Just be honest with yourself and try to figure out what it should be. Now, the Amloes asks, what if, and I know I just gave this case, maybe there's a difference if the Ani comes to your city. You don't have to send him. You know how sometimes they give you an envelope and they say, hey, could you send us money? If you have an Aniyim of your city and you have an envelope to send elsewhere, the Aniyim of your city come first before sending an envelope. The Amloi says, is it different if they come to your city? If they come to you, are they considered Aniyim of your city? Because right now they're right next to you. Is that possible over here? So that's also Machlo, because Rabbi Yitzchak, Rabbi Baruch says, there is no requirement to send money to them. But if they come to you, then yes, you have to give them something like you would a poor person of your city. But the Torah says, no. The poor of your city come first. Even if the poor person from another city comes to you, the poor person of your city comes first. That's the idea behind it, even if they come to you. Yes, what's up, Ryan?
It has to matter what they're collecting money for. Like, if you have a guy from Haifa that needs food as opposed to somebody in Yerushalayim that needs to marry off his daughter.
Very good. If you have a difference between what they're collecting for, right? If they're collecting for different things, a guy who's starving, that's your case, versus a guy who's marrying off his daughter. Now, I don't know. Hachnasas Kala is another issue altogether. Hachnasas Kala is a massive mitzvah, and the schus of marrying off a woman who didn't have the funds to do so, or marrying off a man who didn't have the funds to do so, is another unbelievable schus. It might be on par, but it's a great call, and that might have to do with what you think. Again, you're dealing with a guy who's starving. Obviously, that would come first. But if the guy is not starving, he just could use more, versus Hachnasas Kala, that's a great call. That's a great question. Noam, what are you going to ask? The guy what? If he has a credit card machine. Why?
Because you've seen something.
The guy's mad at town, he has a credit card machine, and the guy is in town.
You know, I'll be honest with you. There's a major difference by me when I give money in shul, when a mishulach comes by, versus when he comes to my house. When he comes to my house, I'm going to write him a check. I'm not going to write a check for a dollar. When he's in shul, I'm going to give him a dollar. But if he comes to my house, he made the effort to come to my house, then I give him a little bit extra. It's $10, and if it's a really, like if the guy gives me a Dvar Torah, then it's a little bit more than that. You know, I'm a big spender. I'm a big spender on Divrei Torah. But if it's a good Divrei, I've had really bad Divrei Torah. But if it's a good Dvar Torah, then it's something a little bit more. You know, depending on how many, again, it all depends on how many guys come and how many people are there at the time. I hear what you're saying, though. If the guy is a credit card machine, to charge... I definitely hear you. I don't know, because it all depends. Like, are you required to give over your credit card to somebody, and you don't know. This thing is, you know, like a little thing that's on the top side of his computer or whatever it is. I don't know if you're required to put your identity in possible theft area in order to do that. I'm not saying that it's a bad thing. I'm just saying it's something to think about, but I don't think you're required to do so. I always try to carry dollars on you. If you have dollars on you, try to keep dollars in my car as much as I can. Noah, what were you going to say?
It's the same issue. Why is somebody who's hungry in Israel and somebody who's hungry in America? But in America, we're big eaters. In Israel,
No, the honest truth is, we're going to get to that. The how much a person needs to eat, how much you're supposed to get. So we'll try to get to something like that. But just remember, it's all about being truthful to yourself. How much do you really have, and how much do you really need? All of those things come into play over here. Obviously, there's Meisr, and Meisr is amazing once a person gets to a 20%, even greater, to be able to get to that level, when a person gets to that level. But a person has to be honest with themselves. What does he need, and what does he want when it comes to these things? Now, how much do you have to give in order to be Yotzi or Chiyuv of tzedakah? Just to be Yotzi or Chiyuv. To be Yotzi, how much do I have to give? So the classic thing in America is obviously a dollar. In Eretz Yisrael, it's usually a shekel. Now, a shekel is obviously much less than a dollar, a quarter, really. That's how much it is. You're basically giving a quarter. I don't see too many people giving four shekelim at a time. Obviously, give a 5-shekel piece, a 10-shekel piece, a 20-shekel, obviously a bill. I remember one time I was in the Mir Yeshiva. I was sitting and learning in the main thing, in main building. And I was sitting there, and as I was learning, I knew that I had a 20-shekel bill in my pocket, right? So when a guy came by, I reached into my pocket, my jacket pocket, I pulled out the 20-shekel bill, and I gave it over to the guy, right? And that was that. I didn't even look, and everything was all there, right? Later on, I got up after Seder was over, right? I reached in my pocket, and I realized I didn't pull out a 20-shekel bill. I pulled out two 200-shekel bills. And gave him 400 shekel. Now, I said at the time, I am not taking that back. That was purely Mina Shemayim and my idiocy, but purely Mina Shemayim that this guy must have gotten 400 shekel. What's shocking to me is that I didn't get a better bracha than bracha v'atzlacha when I gave him 400 shekel. Because the guy just said bracha v'atzlacha to me, and that was that. And I was just like, later on, it only hit me. I was like, whoa, I got a buha, and that was it? Like, I didn't get anything more than that for this? Well, like, I couldn't believe it.
He
but
saw you didn't realize, so he didn't
want to. I was like, I'm so rich here, take. that's clear. That was obvious. That was a little bit of a shocker to me. But regardless, the Ayelas HaShachar of Aaron Leib Steinman says that really, even a penny works. Even a penny works. A 10 agurot piece. Now, granted, the guy's probably going to slap you on the face and yell at you for giving him a 10 agurot piece. If you give a penny to somebody in America, good luck, pal. I am sure that's going up your nose. I have no doubt about that whatsoever. I know it's like, well, you shouldn't be ungrateful for the penny that I'm giving you, but I would be ungrateful if I got a penny. I would be ungrateful for it. But halakhically speaking, you can be yotze just by giving a penny. You don't have to give more than that. You have to give that. It's, in fact, according to Rav Chaim Kanievsky, this is not a question of a shava pruta. Rav Chaim Kanievsky says you could even give something that's less than a penny. You have a little stub of a pencil in your pocket? Give him a stub of a pencil. That's good. That might not even be worth a penny. I doubt it's worth a penny. You can't be Makadish with a stub of a pencil. Don't try it. But I'm pretty sure you can't be Makadish with a stub of a pencil. But regardless, according to in Derech Amuna Hilchos Matnos Aniyim, Zion Aleph, Rechaim Kanievsky says, it's possible that you're still Yotzi even with that. Again, I'm not saying the poor person's going to accept it. But I'm saying if you want to be Yotzi or Chiyuv of Tzedakah, that would be that. Now, there is no Chiyuv when they bring the Tzedakah box around from the shul. That's different. That's not an Ani. That's not an Ani. It's likely the shul has more money than you do. But regardless, if they bring it around, there's no chiyuv to give. Obviously, it's a good thing to give. You're using their lights, you're using their tissues, you're using their water, you're using anything else that you might be using from them. So it's always a good thing to be able to give a dollar when the tzedakah box goes around in shul, or to give something to it. But that's not the chiyuv like it is to an Ani. So if you want to be Yotze, and again, I'm not saying that I do this all the time. It's quite often where I'll be left with nothing in my wallet, and I'll just say to the guy, I got nothing. But if you can, it's always good to give at least something, and at least something means even less than a penny. Even then, you could be Yotze with all that. Ben Ish Chai said, yeah, Jason.
What if he doesn't come up to you, but he still walks in the room?
So I've done this before where I'll take out dollars, I'll have it there, and just in case. If you can walk up to him, that's obviously the best thing that you can do. If not, okay, you walk by. You could even have a situation where I've had this before. You have certain people that are a little bit old who come up to you 2 or 3 times. That is Nason Titain. It's a pasuk. If you can give him more than once, that's amazing. Now, if he's doing it on purpose, then you can call him out on it and just be like, Russia. That you can do. But if the guy really doesn't know and he keeps coming up to you thinking that you're a different person because he's racist and all white people look alike, then it's possible that you could give him a dollar and a dollar and a dollar. I did it once. I finally had that situation where a guy came up to me and I gave him a dollar and then he looked at me again and looked like a generic rabbi, right, with red beard and everything. So I gave him another dollar. I like smiled. I'm like, dude, I get to do this. How often do you get to do a filu me'apamim? Now, if he would have came up to me 100 times, I probably would have punched him in the face, and I wouldn't have had enough dollars. But either way, you get to do it. Once in a while, you get that situation. So the Ben Ish Chai in Od Yosef Chai brings down a story. I've heard this story in 3 different versions, but the Ben Ish Chai says, it's such a great story. Guy walks into a wealthy man's house. right? He's got muddy feet. Obviously, he's been walking around in the mud outside. It's disgusting outside. He walks into this person's house, and he is carpeting a really nice floor. It's beautiful and everything, and he tracks mud everywhere. He's literally everywhere, all over the house. The rich man sees, the wealthy man sees what he did, and he's like, come on, like, how could you do such a thing? He tells his servants, like, kick this guy out. How did he not, dirt, got mud everywhere, he's going to ruin everything, I have to clean all my carpets, get this man out. The man stood up straight and fought against the guards for a second, his servants, and said, give me a second, can I say one thing to you? So the master of the house said, of course, yeah, say. So he said, it says, Baruch Merachem ala Aretz, Baruch Merachem ala Brios. Blessed is the one who has mercy on the land. Blessed is the one who has mercy on Brios, on the creations, on people. So he said, I understand that you want to emulate God. That's our job in this world, to emulate what God does. And just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu has rachamim on the Aretz, you also have rachamim on your land, and you don't want your carpet and your floors to be dirty. I get that. That makes a lot of sense to me. But then follow up with Baruch Merachem ala Brios. After you have mercy on the land, you have to have mercy on people. So if you're going to have mercy on your land, and you're going to get upset about your floor, and I understand it completely, but then have mercy on me. I need food, and I'm starving. So the guy kicked him. Nah, the guy gave him a dollar. I don't know what he gave him. I'm sure he gave him a bigger gift than what he would have had in the first place because he had said that. First of all, it's a good bit of mussar. And second of all, it does help us understand what we're saying by Baruch Merachem ala Aretz, Baruch ala Brios. Don't just have mercy on your land, also have mercy on your Brios. But I'm saying this in more of a different type of term. I think this is what the Ben Ish Chai is saying. There are people who are meticulous about what they have at work. Their chair has to be just so. Their computer has to be this perfect computer. What they do, all their file systems and whatever it is, right? Unless you're that guy who has all the file everywhere, right? But your file system has to be, this is what I do, this is how I have it. So why wouldn't, if you're a merachem ala aretz on your business, why wouldn't you be merachem ala brios? Look at the person and say to him, what do you need and what can I give you? Be meticulous about him. Take a look at the poor person and say, do you need new shoes? Is that something you need? This doesn't have to be a mishloach. Let's take mishloachim out of this for a second because that's difficult to gauge because we don't know. You see a guy in shul. You know the guy isn't doing so well. So you don't even have to go up to him. You go to the rav of the shul or somebody that is close to him and you say to him, hey, I have an extra $100. That guy needs a new pair of shoes. Can you get him a DSW gift card and just make sure that he knows this was a gift from the shul? That's something where if you're so meticulous about your work, then be meticulous about what the poor person needs. It's one thing to just give money, because money is a tremendous thing. But it's another thing when you care enough about the person and you notice things and you say, that guy needs, for example, a new davening jacket. That guy, I see his suit is a little bit frayed. So it doesn't look so good. It doesn't look as nice. He could use that. That's something perfect that he could use. And look at the guy and try to figure out what is there. And that's what he means. Baruch Merachem al Aretz. Baruch Hashem, we have tremendous people who are merachem on the aretz, on their parnasa, on their business, and everything they need, they make sure they have. Baruch Merachem ala Brios as well. Look at every person and think to yourself, I know with this guy, I can do something great for this guy. Let me figure out a way. One of the greatest things that I saw in the last 5 years in Skokie Yeshiva was a guy who came up to me and said, I want to give a gift to one of the rebbeim, and I see that that rebbe doesn't, his eyeglasses look like they're from 1943. Right? It just look like they're from 50 years ago. I want to give him a gift, and I want him to buy any pair of glasses that he wants and get him a new prescription, right? And get him a nice pair of glasses. I said, that's brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. So what did I do? I called up Eye of Optical. I said, someone's going to come into you. Everything he buys is sponsored. Whatever he does, it's sponsored. It's taken care of. And I told him, listen, I think you need new eyeglasses. Go to IF Optical, they'll take care of you. I already spoke to them, they're going to give you a deal. I told them it's free, they'll give you a deal. He walked in, he got a pair of glasses, he asked how much it was, they said free. And he got a free 99, it's good for everybody. But he walks out with a pair of glasses. It's all because one guy noticed his Rebbe needed a pair of glasses, so he got him a pair of glasses. Now, I'm not hinting anything to everyone. I like my glasses. I'm good with these, right? I'm saying, but that's something you notice, you look at it, and you say, I know this is what this person can use, and you figure out a way of giving it to him without embarrassing him. That's the concept of Baruch Merachem al Aretz, Baruch Merachem al Brios. Now, we have this line. I'm not going to spend that much time on it. Lo sa'amets and lo sikbots. What do these lavin mean? What do the lines mean exactly? Rashi means to shut down and close. There are people who get upset when they give. They're upset if they don't give. They feel guilty when they don't give money. But when they give, they feel like, oh, man, I gave too much. I shouldn't have given that much. And there are people like that. Don't allow your heart to gain a foothold in you. Be like the Yetzer Hara and be like, no, you don't want to give in that way. If you're going to feel bad about giving too much. Feel bad about that. If you're going to do that, don't hold yourself back. Give them as much rachamim as they need. And lo sikbo tzedakah, once you're going to give, open up your hand and give them everything he needs. Don't hold back from it. If he needs it and you have the money, you have the ability financially to do so, allow yourself to do so. That's the idea of lo sikbo. They just can't get themselves to do it. Don't hold back your hand. Open up your hand for him. Pasoch tiftach tzedakah. Open up your hand and give him whatever he needs. Malbim says there's a difference between chizuk and imutz. Chizuk is when someone begins to feel strongly about something. You're beginning. Imutz is a constant feeling. Now look, there could be a time, right? Everybody has that feeling where like, oh man, I'm feeling generous today. And you take out your wallet, you're giving to everybody, you're just flashing out the dollars, you know, the single dollars to everybody, and that's there. Sometimes you're not in the mood. The pasuk says, nothing to do with chizuk, lo se'ametz. Don't allow yourself to feel tedious at any point. Allow yourself to always, constantly be strong that you're going to want to give tzedakah. And that's even harder. It's one thing to give when you want to give and to not give when you don't want to give. But that's not the challenge. The challenge is to give even when you don't want to give. Even when you look at yourself and you say, I don't want to. I don't feel like it. I don't want to give this guy. Nonetheless, try to give him anyway. I'm not saying that every poor person is deserving of it. I'm not saying that it's hard for me. I am very, very not into smoking. And when I see a poor person who comes in, who clearly smokes, and I smell the smoke on his breath, it's very difficult for me to give this guy a dollar because I don't feel he should be spending his money on smoking. I just don't feel that way. It's very difficult for me, but that doesn't mean you're allowed to hold yourself back, low sick boats. Even when you look at yourself and you say, I can't, how can I give such a guy? Give him. It's so important to give even to those people because look, that's what he needs at that time. That's what he needs. If you can find out another way of giving without letting it be money for smoking, somehow you give him something else, even better. But if it's a mashiach, what are you going to do? What else are you going to do? Yeah, Michael, what are you going to say?
What about the guys on the street?
When you're dealing with people on the street that you think or know that are doing drugs, right, that are abusing the money that you're giving and giving them drugs. So I almost always, my son can testify to this, almost always I have cookies in my car. Quite often, I will give them cookies. That'll happen quite often. Besides, they probably have a sweet tooth, I would just assume from the stuff they're taking. But regardless, right, even if I don't, I'll give them coins. Coins are not as easy to be able to get through, and usually they'll use that toward, you know, building up and whatever, and they'll use it as McDonald's or something like that. So at least they'll use it for that. But I try not to ignore even those guys unless it's, you know, unless the guy scares the living daylights out of me and I don't want to touch his hand. That might be a different story. You should know, by the way, the misericordia people, right? Everybody knows the misericordia. That is Akasha. I'm not going to answer the Shiloh for you about whether to give them or not because it is a church, but it's a church that does amazing things. The misericordia people are out there. That's your own shiloh that you can ask to everybody. But if it's a stam church that's collecting, that you wouldn't be able to give. That's a vodazara, as we talked about before. That would be an issue. Yeah, we're going to say.
What about someone without a green card?
It's Akasha. Here in Chicago, we have a specific rule of only giving to the people with green cards. And the way the rabbi first explained it to me is because it's the easiest thing in the world to get a green card. If they don't have a green card, there's something terribly wrong. So what happens in that situation? So again, here's how I'd look at it. If you're giving them $10, don't give them $10, right? But if it's a guy coming on in shul, right, and the question is for you, what are you going to use that dollar for? That's how I look at it. Now, Rabbi First will tell most people, don't give at all, because you don't want to encourage them, make them get a green card. I look at it in a sort of like, I'm giving up, what, a Coke? I'm giving up a Coke. It's probably better for me. I'm healthier because I'm giving this guy a dollar. So sometimes I'll look at it that way. But sometimes, again, it depends on how you look at the guy. Some of these people that aren't getting green cards are for very, very good reasons. You got to be careful with that. So I'm going to leave that to your specific rub to be able to pass him because it's way too much when it comes to this. Now, the Ibn Ezra Ibn Bechaya says, Shmuel, yeah.
But is it even a mitzvah to give the guys in the street? Why aren't Jewish?
What you're asking is it a mitzvah to give tzedakah to somebody who's not Jewish? And the answer is darchei shalom. We give darchei shalom to somebody like that. And again, it totally depends. I'm not giving them meiser. I'm not giving them my Meister money. That's not happening. It's not like I'm taking off a tenth of my earnings and giving it over to that guy. I'm giving them 25 cents or 35 cents that I have in my car. I have a bunch of change in my car. I'm giving them that. I don't feel like that's a big problem. Like that's not a big issue. And for us to be able to make somewhat of a Kiddush Hashem to show that we care about everybody, even them, even a person like that on the street, that's that. Can you give Meister to a non-Jew? No, you shouldn't give Meister to a non-Jew unless there's a very, very specific situation. But to give tzedakah to a non-Jew? Yeah, Dar Hashem, without a question, you definitely can. Now, the Ibn Ezra and Avinu B'chaya say another line, and again, I don't want to give mussar to anybody here, because I'm not everybody's mashgiach here, just most of yours. So I will just tell you, when you give tzedakah, there's a very big difference between when you give it and you're just like, oh, like that, or when you give it like with a smile. Even if you're not able to give it, you know, give any money, right, to just turn around, you have no idea what those words mean, like, ain li ani mitzta'er. I don't have, and I'm sorry. That means something to them. Because they look at it and they say, like, wow, at least he cares enough to be able to say, I'm sorry, I couldn't give you something. To be able to say something like that. If you don't have money on you, it's okay. Don't say. Now, you can't, obviously, you cannot interrupt between Borchu, really from the beginning of Pesukei Zimra, right? But for this, maybe. But from Borchu up until the end of your Shemoneh Esrei, obviously, you cannot do a thing. You're not even allowed to motion. You're not allowed to wink. You're not allowed to point. You can't do anything like that in between Borchu and Shemoneh Esrei. But before Borchu, during Pesukei Zimra, to give or to sort of look at the guy and just be like, I can't. I just don't have any money on me. It means so much to anyone. To just say, I'm so sorry that I can't give, I wish I could give. The Rabbeinu B'chaya and the Ibn Ezra say, this is this pasuk. Lo se'ametz es levavecha, is don't think to yourself, don't be all like, oh, I'm gonna, I can't give, so I don't want to give you, or you're not good enough for me. Don't act that way. Lo se'ametz levavecha, don't make yourself too strong. Allow yourself to, at least, if you're not going to be able to give anything out, open up your heart to the person. Open up your lathe to that person and say to him, I'm sorry, I just don't have the money on me. I wish I did. I wish I was able to do it. There's a netziv over here, an amazing netziv as well. You can look this up over here about this pasuk, about the difference between the two and where to go, etc., and stuff like that. There's another Rav Hirsch over here, the difference between Lashon Rabbah and Lashon Yachid. It's an amazing piece as well, how we're not expecting an individual to save the world. We're not expecting the government to save the world. It's got to be the government together with individuals working together to make sure that everybody has what they need. It's an amazing reverse as well. It's really like a socialized system that actually seems to work, but that's the idea behind it. The Chidah just says, you have to do this to yourself constantly. Now, he means it. He says, you want to be able to start giving tzedakah more often? Picture yourself in your head doing it. Look at yourself in your head and say to yourself, here's what I want to do, and picture yourself giving money over to an ani. Giving it to a poor person. If you picture it, if you see yourself doing it in your head, says the Chidah, it's going to work. It'll work. You'll end up giving a poor person. That's what it'll end up being. If you can keep picturing yourself doing it again and again and again, that daydream turns into reality. It's an amazing thing, but we see this in other places as well. Turn it into something that's over there. That's that. There's a Miyam Lois over here that just says, don't consider anybody less than you. A lot of times you look at this person and you think like, ha, I was able to make money. This guy wasn't able to make money. This guy doesn't have as much as me. He's clearly not as successful. God doesn't love him. God loves me better. Says me, I'm always, just remember, Hillel was dirt poor until he became a Nasi. Rabbi Elazar, the Talmud of Rabbi Yochanan. Forgot what his last name was. Ben something. Ben Pattis. Rabbi Elazar ben Pattis, thank you. I thought Rabbi Elazar ben Carson was the really rich one. Rabbi Elazar ben Pattis was so poor, he mamish was willing to die. He told the Kodesh Baruch Hu, I'm willing to die in the Gemara in Tainus. As Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa. Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa couldn't afford anything. He had a calf of caribs every week. You ever had carib before? It's horrible. So that's that. That's all he had. When you have people like that, don't let your Yetzirah tell you they're less than you, they're not as kashuf. Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa, Rabbi Elazar ben Pattis, Hillel Zaken. They were amazing, amazing people. But some people are not born under the same mazel as you. Some people do not have the same schuyos that you do from your avos or from other people. You have to remember that and never look down at somebody over there. Chavetz Chaim goes on, there's Ramosha Feinstein, a Ksav Sofer over here. Amazing, amazing pieces, but unfortunately we don't have any time over here. There's an Orach Chaim HaKadosh. This Orach Chaim HaKadosh has to be said. It's amazing. It's an amazing Orach Chaim. He quotes Baba Basra Daf Yud. Says, we say the purpose of Hashem wanting poor people in this world, this is what the Gemara says, why are there poor people in the world? Is in order to be mezakeh, to give a schus to those who have money, to give to the people who don't. The poor people are only there for your benefit, to give them money. That's why they're there. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants them there for that reason. They have to be there. So he said, Efes lo yibecha avyon. You will not have anything. You won't have any avyonim around. It's a bracha to have avyonim. We have a mitzvah to give tzedakah. And now finally we have the ability to do it. I once saw a Tommy and Hugim that said, we should thank God for the fakers. You know why we should thank God for the fakers? Because if there were no fakers out there, then you would be held responsible for every ani you take away. You don't give money to. There's an ani that comes in and you didn't give money to him. It's like you killed him. It's like you killed him. But because there's fakers out there, so therefore you have somewhat of an excuse as to why you didn't give money, so it's a little bit better for you. But still, nonetheless, you try to do everything you can, and you can't. And this is the line the Or HaChaim says. Becha evyon, kia becha evyon. And we learned a little bit about this before. It's you. It's in you. It's because of you that there's an evyon. Hashem wants you to have this mitzvah. So the mitzvah's right there. Perhaps, maybe, he went to a line of business that wasn't supposed to make any money, and you're there to be able to take care of him. You're right there. Kia becha evyon. It's because of you that there's a poor person in your people, among your nation, someone around there. That's the idea behind it. Perhaps, he says, maybe this guy was chosen to take on the Yisurin of Klal Yisrael. Maybe this is his final tikkun, his final gilgul, before a Kadosh Baruch Hu brings him up to the highest level of Shemayim. Maybe that's what it's supposed to be. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi found Mashiach sitting on the gates of Rome, all bandaged up from the wounds that he had, all disgusting, with everything all over his body. That was Mashiach. We're not talking about Stalma. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi pictured Mashiach, or whatever it was that he saw Mashiach sitting at the gates of Rome as a poor person, as a destitute person, as a person who had literally absolutely nothing, begging the passerby for some type of money, for anything that he could get. This is the idea of what you have to go into, says the Or HaChaim HaKadosh. Either way, it's because of something. Something that caused him to be this way, and therefore make sure to give him, this is your zchus, your mitzvah more than anything else. Now, at the end of the piece, this Or HaChaim HaKadosh, there's an unbelievable line. And he says, when you give tzedakah, have in mind that you're giving it l'shem Mashiach sheshmo Chaim. For the sake of Mashiach, you're giving tzedakah, think of, I'm doing this for Mashiach whose name is Chaim. So, the kasha is, where is that written? Anybody know where it says Mashiach's name is Chaim? Well, where is that? So many people thought that the Or HaChaim HaKadosh was trying to say that he was Mashiach. That he himself, the Or HaChaim HaKadosh, his name was Reb Chaim Ibn Attar. That he's referring to himself. That I have the possibility of being Mashiach, and that's that. Now that's unbelievable. That's true. So like, that's like a great way of coming out as being Mashiach, right? Just be like, write a sefer and just write like, oh, by the way, it's me. That's awesome. That's absolutely awesome. Like, write it in Parshas Re'eh. Like, hope that people don't see it until the very, very end, right? That's absolutely amazing. But that's weird. It doesn't seem, and obviously the Or HaChaim HaKadosh passed away over 200 years ago. It can't be that that's what he's referring to, that he's referring to himself. It could be that Chaim is the Rosh Yetiv, is some of Mashiach's names. Do you know that the reason why we call him Mashiach? Mashiach just means anointed one. You know why we call him Mashiach? Because the Gemara in Sanhedrin says there are four names of Mashiach. Do you know what the four names are? Menachem, Shiloh, Yinon, or Yanai, right? And Chizkiah. Those are the four names of Mashiach. And that's Mem, Shin, Yud, Ches. Those are the four names. So we call him Mashiach because those are the four names that it's referring to him. It's the Rosh Yetiv putting together. Maybe Chaim is similar. Ches, Yud, Yud, Mem. Maybe that's referring to, again, the four names. Chizkiyahu, Yanai and Yinon, right? And Menachem. He's missing one of the names, Shiloh. I don't know why he's missing Shiloh, but maybe that's what he's referring to. Pardes Yosef says something over here that's amazing. He says, it's got to be the Mashiach was born and conceived in Eretz Yisrael. Why? Because it says, Ki yebecha evyon me'achar achecha be'achad sharecha be'artzecha. It's got to be in your land. If this pasuk is a reference to Mashiach, and a reference to how to give tzedakah l'shem Mashiach, says the Pardes Yosef, from here we learn that Mashiach is born and conceived in Eretz Yisrael. So how many people here were born and conceived in Eretz Yisrael? You're actually born in Eretz Yisrael. You got one? As you went, yeah, you. I don't know if you're going to be Mashiach, I'm just saying. But you got two people right here. Two people who may be Mashiach. Very well could be Mashiach. Right? And you have that. Either one of your names Chaim? Your name Chaim?
No.
Your name is Chaim. You think I had a reason for that? So either way, regardless, so there's amazing things that somehow there's a possibility of this possibly happening. Now, the Or HaChaim HaKadosh could not have been that. Because the Or HaChaim HaKadosh was born in Morocco. He was born in Iraq. He came there at Sol toward the end of his life. There are stories about that. But the Or HaChaim came at the end of his life. But there's no way it's mamish referring to him itself. But regardless, you should know, when the Or HaChaim HaKadosh wrote a Sefer, when it was reprinted in the mid-1800s, they left out these four words. Sheshmo Mashiach. The L'shem Mashiach Sheshmo Chaim. They left out those four words. And when Rabbi Pinchas of Koritz saw it, he was reading through. Of course, he knew the Or HaChaim HaKadosh Baal Peh. And he turned to the editor and he said, what happened to the four words at the end of this Or HaChaim HaKadosh? Sheshmo Chaim. What happened to those four words over there? And the editor said, everybody knows he was referring to himself. And he wasn't Mashiach, so I took it out. So Rabbi Pinchas of Koritz said, you have no idea what you're talking about. Put it in, and you yourself are the proof. He said, I don't know what you're talking about. Apparently... crazy line for a Pinchas of Koritz. I don't quite get it. He turned to another pasuk in Bamidbar, Parakei Pasuk Chav Beis. And the pasuk, the Or HaChaim was supposed to say, Amein im me'ish zeh, Amein im me'ish acher. And instead, the editor wrote in, Amein im me'ish zeh, Amein im me'ish asher. The name of the printer was Asher. So sort of like, whether it's from me or from Asher. Somehow Mashiach will come through or something. It's like a crazy line from Pinchas Mikoritz, and he was just like, it's because you think that Mashiach's coming from you and you left out those lines, and that's the real reason why you left it out, when really it's coming from the Or HaChaim HaKadosh. Stop right there. I have no idea what that means. I'm pulling that out for you because that's what Pinchas Mikoritz said, but regardless, it's over there. We're not going to end off with anything over here. There's a famous gra, Lo Sikbutz Yachad, don't close your hands, open up your hands, because every ani needs something different. And I was going to say that before, Noah, that was in reference to your question, that when you close your hands, everything looks equal. So you don't think that any poor person is different from anybody else. When you open up your hands, you see everybody is different. Everybody has different needs. Everyone has something different that they need. You have to give them according to who they are, not according to what you want to do. That's how you got to give them. There's a Sfasemis over here, a Belzer Rebbe. If you can find this Belzer Rebbe, kudos to you. The Belzer Rebbe says something similar. He says those levels of tzedakah that we talked about are based on the fingers of the hand. That's an amazing Belzer Rebbe. All right, there's another. I have a story over here, Rabbi Yitzchak Zilberstein, about the Soloveitchik family. If you want to look it up, I have it on the sheets itself. Other than that, guys, have a great Shabbos.